The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Stephen Powell in the studio. Only one meeting left on Friday afternoon. Kempton is the sole meeting, but a good card to look forward to there. We also have all-weather racing in the evening from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. So three meetings to look forward to. No banger on Newcastle though, as the weather continues to wreak havoc on the racing. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to some of the action is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. Very well indeed. And as you quite rightly said, the weather continues to wreak havoc. Goodness gracious me. Even Kempton is soft, heavy in places on the chase course and heavy and soft on the hurdle course tomorrow. And that just tells you exactly how wet it has been. And, we look like we can continue to get more rain as well. So one or two of the meetings over the weekend could be in jeopardy as well.
Yeah, I think they're inspecting at Uttoxeter already as well, ahead of the weekend action. So that's another one that's in trouble with the weather. And what's the other one? Huntingdon today, which goes ahead, so that's okay. It's becoming a regular thing, this, isn't it?
We're actually having a very good winter as far as we've not had any real severe frost or anything horrendous, but certainly the rain is taking its toll. And I'd have to say that I think we've raced on ground this year that certainly in the past I wouldn't have thought we would have raced on, if you know what I mean. I think that they've raced on much softer ground this season than we possibly have done for a long, long time.
Anyway, we can't do anything about that. We just have to keep going, don't we, and keep trying. And
we just have to paddle our boat.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about something a little bit more cheery for me. It was your birthday on Tuesday. Happy birthday to you, belated birthday.
Oh, goodness gracious me. I think they must have got the figures a bit wrong there. I think it was actually should have read same as Lord John Budden's today. Yes. Rather than what it was. But anyway, that's by the by. But yeah, it was. It's always nice to get one and get it out of the way when you get to my time of life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a sort of thing you relish coming round every year, that's for sure. But anyway, happy days.
Fair enough. Yes, Lord Budden, 75 on Thursday as well. So
cool.
Still going strong. He still comes in here and he sits in the studio and
yeah.
He doesn't bat an eyelid. He remembers the race and he sits there listening to it all day, and you get some of these young whippersnappers wanting a break. Lord Budden never asked for a break.
No, he wouldn't ask for a break. And he's a legend in his own right, is the Lord, that is for sure. And I just hope I don't have to keep coming in here for another 20 odd years. But anyway, we'll watch this space. Mick Norton can't be far behind him either, can he?
No, probably not.
You know what I mean? There'll be two of them in that sort of age group, so to speak.
What do you do on a Chris Pimlott birthday then? What did you get up to?
I just did the same as every day, you know. Get mucked out, ride out, do whatever. And we just went out for a little bit of a meal last night, to be perfectly honest.
Okay, well, good stuff. And you mentioned Mick Norton there. That leads us nicely onto the first bit of news I want to talk about, because earlier in the week, Mick suggested Ali Van for the Betfair hurdle. It was a nice, juicy 33-1 price when we recorded that. I think that was on Monday. None of that about anymore. He's 14-1 now, the John Joe O'Neill trained runner in the JP McManus colours. And Mick seemed to think that he
plotted up might be the word.
JP McManus has persevered with him for a reason, shall we say. Kept hold of him for a reason.
That's right. I mean, again, you know, he's got a great record in this race as JP, and you know, it's good to see him that he's still having the horses around to go and have a little tickle at, isn't he? And certainly Alvian needs to be taken note of, and he's nicely enough 10-4. Maurice Liederman takes 5 off, 9 stone 13 on his back. Horse will think he's loose. And, I can hear him saying it already now, the Silver Fox. I told you so.
I think he might say that one, if that was to be the case. Have you looked at the race, Pimmy?
I haven't looked at it in depth, to be perfectly honest, as of yet. But certainly, you know, whatever you choose to put your hard-earned on, you need to be finding something that's going to go in the heavy ground, that is for sure. So bear that in mind as your biggest asset, really, something to go on the heavy. Mm. And the great thing is now at Newbury, well, you can get wrapped up, you can go in your jeans, they'll welcome you.
Yes, that's nice, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah, happy days.
Yes,
at Racecourse Newbury.
The betting looks like this, by the way, for anybody who wants to have a bet. Irish Saint 11-2, Rolling Star 6-1, Dalarka is 7s, Cheltenian 8-1, Smashing is 11s, it's then 12-1 for Far West, and Vendor Alivan is 14-1, and then 16-1 for Swing Bowler, and Totalize 20-1 or bigger prices the remainder. So it's shaping up nicely. We'll see more of that. We'll talk about more of that as we approach Saturday's racing. We also have some good racing to look forward to over in Ireland as well, Pimmy. The Irish Hennessy is one of the features of the year, and Barry Geraghty has been booked to ride Lyrene Legend.
Yeah, again, very positive jockey booking there, that is for sure. And gosh, I cast my mind back going to this Hennessy meeting at Leopardstown those moons ago when Jadami, I think, won it 3 years running. Mm. We had some happy days there. It used to be Weatherby on the Saturday, and we'd fly from Leeds Bradford over to Leopardstown for the big race on the Sunday. And I'm sure he landed it three times there, and we had some happy days, that is for sure, over there on that Sunday.
Yeah, it should be a good race. I mean, there's been a couple of interesting jockey bookings already. Tidal Bay's partnered by Ruby Walsh once again.
Great to see that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great to see that. And it's just interesting that Nichols has snapped up his old ally when he's become available for a biggie.
Mm. Yes, first lieutenant though, the market leader, 13-8. Tidal Bay 3-1. Last instalment 4-1. Lyrene Legend also 4s. 10s for Lord Windermere. Texas Jack 11s, and Wadami is 16-1. Do you think this is first lieutenant's the one to beat here?
I think there's four or five there. The first three or four in the betting, I couldn't choose from. I think the interesting one is Lord Windermere here. He's underachieved so far this season. Ran disappointingly in the Hennessy. Didn't run too well in the Lexus. But I think if you can forgive him for that, and what Jim Colotti's basically saying in the paper is that, yeah, one or two of his horses haven't been running well at that time. He thinks he's turned the corner, and certainly he could be an interesting price at Lord Windermere. He was the RSA Chase winner last year, and I think if you can forgive him those disappointing runs, he might run well at a double-figure price.
OK. Elsewhere, we won't see My Tent or Yours anytime soon. He's been ruled out of the Kingwell hurdle by Nicky Henderson. The ground too heavy for him, but you can see why, can't you? I suppose you don't want to run a horse 4 or 5 weeks before the festival on bottomless ground.
No, you certainly wouldn't, and he's not that sort of horse that's going to really handle that ground. And the other thing is, you know, Nicky Henderson, wonderful trainer. He doesn't need him to go to the races to get him fit. He'll certainly be able to get him fit at Seven Barrows, and more than likely a racecourse gallop along the way will see him bang right to go to Cheltenham. And again, for me personally, I don't think he's a horse that really needs a lot of racing. I think he's more than likely better when he's fresh anyway, so I don't think it'd be a big issue that he doesn't run next weekend.
Yeah, and similar story for Sprinter Sakura as well. He's going to be doing work at home and a racecourse gallop for him as well. So,
That's a slightly different scenario, isn't it? We've got to
with the injury,
overcoming that heart problem, and you know, they've got to be able to put their hand on their heart and say, yeah, he is 110% right, and we can go to war, because I'm positive they wouldn't certainly want any repercussions of what happened last time. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they'd run him unless he's absolutely spot on with they know what they're doing. So,
yeah.
Anything else caught your eye, Pimmy?
Not really. I mean, it's been pretty mundane stuff. I thought Musselburgh put on a fantastic card last weekend. Full credit to them. They got good fields. They put on good prize money. They got some good racing. And I think, you know, it's nice to see that some racecourses are certainly trying much harder than one or two others, that's for sure.
Mm. OK, one racecourse that will have racing on Friday is Kempton Park. It's the only meeting of the afternoon, as we mentioned, but a good card to look forward to, actually. There's some good racing there, as you'd expect from Kempton, of course. And the 2:30 is the first race that we're going to look at, Pimmy. It's a handicap chase, a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles, and seven of them in the lineup. at the time of recording. Where do you want to start in this one?
Well, 7 of them go to post, 2 miles the trip, good prize on offer, £6,256 to the winner. We'll run through them as we work from the top of the card, if you like. Not half bad, run a cracker in defeat last time out, beating a length behind Red Brick. I thought that form was pretty rock solid, and he's got official rating of 127. Ted Dolly's been knocking on the door, hasn't quite opened for him, and he was last seen in a Galway 2 mile novices chase back in October. Ultra Gold from the Tizard Yard. Again, I thought he's slightly underachieved so far this season, beating 19 lengths behind Benny's Mist at Wincanton last time. That was 2 mile five, back to 2 mile might enhance his chances. Overclear from the Victor Dartnell Yard. Well, he's a 12-year-old now, and he was well and truly beaten at Cheltenham behind King Mancini last time out. And again, he drops back in trip. Nozick, the pensioner of the field at 13. He's ridden by David Cross, who I still think's on a long, long losing run. And I can't see Nozick get him off that losing run. He finished fourth last time out at Warwick. But again, he was beaten quite some way behind Dermy. Lucky Sonny's the interesting one here from the very, very much informed Vivacious Venetia. And this ran well third of six behind Cloudy Joker at Catterick last time out. Nicely weighted off a mark of 110. And the bottom horse is Paddy the Stout. Well, again, he's just got a featherweight of 10 stone four on his back. And again, would have to up his game if he's going to take a hand in the finish tomorrow afternoon. So, where's it going to land? The pin. It's going with Vivacious Venetia. Lucky Sonny. I thought the form of that, it looks like he's getting a progressive profile. He's no world beater at 110. But in the context of this race, I think he's the one they've got to beat.
Okay. Nozick won this race off a mark of 121 last year. Returns off a mark of 110. I know he's 13 and his form doesn't look pretty good, but if he could get anywhere near his best, he'd be entitled to at least be involved again, wouldn't he?
Well, he certainly would, but he's just underachieved so far since this win last year, and he'd really have to have a bounce back to his good old days to land the spoils tomorrow, I should imagine.
Yeah, possibly getting a little bit too long in the fang, as Lord Budden would say.
Well, indeed, yeah. How on earth can he say that? How does that work, love? Yeah.
The 335 is the next race we're going to look at, which is a Class 2 graduation chase over 2.5 miles, and an interesting one down at the bottom of the weights there, Un Artiste, who, if you can get somewhere near the even money mark, would be a bit of value here, wouldn't it?
Even money. If you get even money, I'd say you've got a balaclava on. You know what I mean? I mean, let's just look at it this way, young fella. She's off a mark of 140.
Yeah.
I think Batonair was off a mark of about 130 odd when he was running over hurdles, not prior to his absence, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So, 132 is the top one. 117 is the second horse in. Batonair's 133 and Un Artiste 140. Yeah, she's getting £7 off the Alan King runner, so that makes her £14 in. She's getting £8 off Knox Sadoa, and that's rated 117, she's rated 140. And she's getting a stone and something, and she's £8 better than the top horse Shangani. So really and truly, she should be an absolute steering job. Ran at Thurles last time, just got done a whisker on the line. Prior to that, she was a readied winner. I think she's difficult to oppose, and I honestly feel that even money, if you can get even money, lump on. Lump on.
Yeah. Well clear on official ratings, and it should go that way. I suppose with Batonniere in the field, being the RSA winner, Neptune winner, a couple of years ago before, obviously having problems and only racing once since, that could keep the price intact somewhat.
Well, Alan King's doing okay since his horse have come back. He's not flying, is he? This horse obviously had the long layoff, ran okay at Newbury back in November, but it was only okay, you know what I mean? It wasn't anything that really took the eye. So I think he's got to improve a good bit to give Un Artiste a fright tomorrow.
Yeah, and it's his first run over fence as well, so you never know.
Yeah, so that's it. Kempton fence is a nice enough fence that they're not as if you were thinking you're going to Newbury first time or something like that, so I wouldn't worry about him going over fences for the first time. But I just think Un Artiste the figures add up to it being should be in an odds-on shot, really.
Okay. We'll see what price that Unartiste ends up then in that race. The 410 is the last one we're going to look at. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles, and 8 of them in the lineup here, so we could have an each-way slant on the race if we wanted. How do you want to play it, though, Pimmy?
I thought very competitive. Obviously, 3 miles, heavy ground. You know, going to take a little bit of getting. I thought there's some interesting ones here. I thought the top weight's interesting from Alan King's Midnight Appeal. Summary Justice, another one from Venetia Williams Yard, who ran well last time out. Chatteroux, disappointing for the Tom George of late. Court Victory, I thought, ran well after an absence when finishing third. Triangular's interesting, but he went up £4 for getting beaten last time. RBO, didn't really think his chances were great, having pulled up on his debut this year. Jules Royal, tough, consistent, but hasn't quite got his head in front for some time. And Adrenaline Flight, disappointed last time out when pulled up, but prior to that hadn't been doing too badly and was fairly tough and consistent. And one thing you do know about him is he will stay the trip out really well tomorrow afternoon. So I thought there was a, you know, interesting enough field without anything really jumping off the page at me. But you saying an each way slant, I'm going to forgive disappointing run by Adrenaline Fright. He's only got 10 stone one tomorrow. I think that could run well at a double figure price.
Okay, Adrenaline Flight then could be a bit of value in that one. Let's just have a quick summary, if you don't mind, Pimmy, spinning us through your three for Friday one more time.
Yeah, well, we're going to go in that opening 2:30 race at Kempton Park. We're going to go for Venetia Williams' Lucky Sunny to continue progressing. In the graduation chase, Unartiste for me is a banker. And in that 4:10, the 3 mile handicap chase, each way, number 8, Adrenaline Flight.
Good work, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Enjoy on Friday. So there you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. Then you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and Stephen Powell in the studio. There's this meeting from Kempton in the afternoon and two all-weather meetings to finish the day. One from Wolverhampton domestically and one over in Ireland at Dundalk as well. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.